Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Good? It's good to see you today. Welcome here to Bethel Christian Church. Just want to share something real quick before we get into the Word. Today, tonight, we start our network conference for our Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God. And so we have some business meetings and things like that starting tonight and going through the next couple of days. But during that, we're going to have an election for a new superintendent since our superintendent, John Wooten, passed away earlier this year. And so keep that in prayer, the election of our new leader within the Assemblies of God within this state. And I know Dan Lund will be on that ballot, and so we want to keep God keep that whole situation in prayer over these next couple of days. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you. So just ask you to keep praying for all those details as we continue to move forward as a denomination and as God continues to use the Assemblies of God within the state of Ohio, right? We want to see God move in Ohio, amen? We want to see Ohio for Jesus, right? That salvation of Ohio happening. And we believe that God is going to bring revival into this state. And so we're going to keep praying for that, keep believing for that, keep trusting God that He's going to continue to move and keep working as if God is going to move, right? You know, we believe that God's going to move, but we also have to do work. We have a part to play in that, don't we? There you go, that's better. We have a part to play in that. You know, God, we're going to pray that God's going to move, but we need to be obedient to fulfill the calling that God's placed on us, not only as a church, but also individually, to go and help our communities come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That was a nice little chime there at the end. Today we're going to continue in our series. The series we talked a few weeks ago started called Uncomfortable, and in this series we talked about a little bit about, what was the first word, the first week we talked about? Grumbling, there it is. Someone might have said it. I was thinking slander in my mind. I don't know why grumbling wouldn't come, but anyway, grumbling is the first one that we talked about. How many are doing better with your grumbling? How many still struggle with your grumbling? Okay, yeah, something maybe a little bit of both, I don't know, but that's something that we all need to work on, right, in our lives. I won't gauge the audience today. On the second one, we talked about lust, right, and more specifically, we talked about pornography, and you know, that's still something we all deal with, right, is that idea of lust, and so being careful and guarding our heart, you know, in our lives. And you know, today we're going to talk about something, and we talk about it sometimes from time to time within Pentecostal circles particularly, but it's something that we're all engaged in right now, and that's a spiritual battle. Right, we are in spiritual war every day of our lives. And so today I just felt like we needed to go down this road today as we talk a little bit about, you know, things that are impacting us and impacting our church, impacting our lives on a daily basis. We are in a battle. We live in a world that's not only physical but is also deeply spiritual, right? You know, the Apostle Paul concluded his letter with these words to the Ephesians with a powerful, urgent call. He wrote these words, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Right? That's the call upon every one of our lives, that we are called to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We are called to be strong. And how many feel strong today? How many feel a little weak today? Right? You know, we all have that, you know, thing that we walk through. Some days we feel victorious. We're on the top of the mountain. We're ready to go, right? You know, step up, enemy. I'm ready to take you out. Right? Then there's other days we're like, man, I'm weary. I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time taking the next step in my journey, let alone fighting a war that I'm in every day of my life. But a final word, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. These are not just encouraging words. These are a battle cry. They're a battle cry to every one of us because we are engaged in warfare. A final word before he lays down his pen to this church in Ephesus, summoning all believers to prepare for this world, or this war that's already at our doorstep. Many of us underestimate the seriousness of this spiritual battle that we are in every day of our lives. We go through life unaware, maybe, of the enemy's schemes, the unforeseen forces that oppose us, the temptations that erode our integrity, the doubts that shake our faith, the distractions that pull us away from our purpose in Christ. These words in Ephesians 6, they open up our eyes to this battle that we are in every day of our lives. And something I want to remind us of today, that we are in a battle. We're in a battle against our enemy every day of our lives. The enemy, there's a threefold assault against us. What is the enemy? The enemy can be, you know, we have our flesh longing for our old life. How many battle against your flesh, right? Maybe once some of that old sin that might be so tempting to us from before we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that flesh is a part of that battle that we're engaging in every day. We have the world that's trying to pull at us, right? The world trying to get us to go their direction, saying, you know, you don't need to live as a holy life. You don't need to live with integrity. You can compromise a little bit in this area of your life, or you know, whatever it might be. We have the world that's pulling at us. And of course, we have the devil, right? The devil and the demonic forces that ensure everything proceeds as planned, as they have planned, right? And so there is that battle that we are in every day of our lives. We are standing in the midst of this battle. There's an old story called Archibald Naismith. And he recounts that during the height of the Battle of Waterloo, an officer rode swiftly to the commander, who was the Duke of Wellington, declaring, "My captain says we're being destroyed. We need reinforcements immediately." The Duke replied calmly, "Well, tell him to stand." The officer then returned to the convoy with the message from the captain. Soon, the same messenger rode back bearing the same message. Once again, Wellington told him plainly, "Tell him to stand." Soon, another officer came with the same request. Wellington replied, "I have no help to send you. Tell him to stand." The officer saluted and responded, "You will find us there, sir." After the battle ended, the Duke discovered each of these men at their posts. Although they were all dead, they stood firm. They all sacrificed their lives for the victory. As we examine this passage, you know, one of those themes, one of those words that stand out in this passage, it's a very familiar passage to most of us here in the room. Maybe we've heard many sermons about this. If you grew up in church, you probably heard many, you know, messages as a child growing up in church. But one of the main phrases that I want us to just look at this morning in the midst of this familiar passage is these two words of stand firm. If we're to look at this word stand, it appears three times in this passage. In one instance, it's intensified in the Greek, signifying of maximum emphasis. The Greek sentence structure illustrates that we have often misplaced our focus in this passage. Many times we focus on the armor of God, and the armor of God is good, you know, but I think the thrust of this passage is on that word stand, and more specifically those words stand firm. It is really what we should be focusing on in the midst of this passage, in the midst of this armor of God being illustrated, being talked about, is this idea, this command that we are called to stand firm. And so I want to remind us of that today as we dig into this message, that we are called to stand firm, to stand firm in the midst of the opposition we are facing in our lives. And we need to stand firm in the midst of the battle that we're going through every day in multiple situations, in multiple ways. So the armor serves merely as a means to fulfill the command of God, and that is to stand. So think about that today. When we go through this, that all this illustration, all this is really about how we are called to stand firm in the Lord. First thing we're going to look at as we unpack these couple of verses is that we must stand firm in the spiritual battles we face every day. We are called to stand firm in the midst of the battles that you and I are facing every day of our lives. Satan despises God and everything that he represents. If you love God, Satan opposes you. Right? If you love God, Satan's your opposition, right? You know, Satan will oppose you in your life. There's a spiritual battle going on. When you commit your life to Jesus Christ, Satan loses you, right? He loses you forever. Because when you give your heart to Jesus, make him your Lord and your master, he becomes everything to you, and he becomes the Lord of your life. He becomes the one on the throne of your heart, giving you commands, and we're obeying them, you know, as a soldier in battle, listening to our commander-in-chief saying, go do this. That's what we're doing as we live our lives as men and women of God every day. And as a result of that, Satan loses you forever. You will spend eternity with God. Be assured that Satan will do everything possible to render you ineffective and make you feel inadequate and like you don't even matter. The enemy wants to do that. He wants to steal our effectiveness. If he can't get us back in our allegiance and following after him again or not following after God again, he'll at least do everything he can to make you as ineffective as possible in your life and in your walk with God. He does not care about you. The spiritual conflict is occurring every day all around you. So what are some spiritual battles that you're facing and that I'm facing every day of my life? We face the battle against fear. How many know that there's a battle of fear in our lives? Fear of uncertainty, fear of a lot of situations in our lives. Fear just grips our heart. You know, if you've ever had your heart gripped by fear, man, it could be paralyzing in your life when fear just comes in and just controls you, right? So we have a battle of fear. We have a battle against temptation. Right? Temptation to sin. Maybe like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, maybe it's a temptation to grumble. Maybe it's a temptation and you're failing in that area of lust. I don't know what temptation it might be. There's a lot of temptations out there, but we're facing a battle of temptation every day. We're facing a battle against doubt. Sometimes we doubt, you know, God, are you really going to come through in this situation? God, why aren't you doing what I want you to do as I pray in this situation of my life, right? We face doubt. God, are you really there? God, are you really listening? Right? God, I feel like you're not even hearing my prayers, right? All these kinds of things we face and we battle against doubt in our lives. We battle against discouragement. You know, sometimes we just get discouraged and bummed out. You know, things aren't going the way we think they should or want them to go, and we just get discouraged, and we say, man, God, what is happening right now in this situation? And then another one that we can look at is we battle against pride. I want what I want when I want it, right? There's that old idea that I'm in charge, you know, and we battle against pride. Who's really in charge of your life? Is it you or is it God? You know, it can't be both ways. It's really needs to be God in charge of your life. And so are you struggling in that aspect of your life? On and on we can go. There's just a couple of battles that we face every day of our lives. Fear, temptation, doubt, discouragement, pride. And again, we can go a lot of different ways with those battles that we're facing, but I want you to understand that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy, that's his mission. His mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, I've come to give you life so you can have it more abundantly, right? And that's the mission of Jesus in our lives, that he wants to give us life more abundantly. Many believe that this physical world represents all of reality. However, the spiritual realm holds great significance. The physical existence, your physical existence, the physical existence, is only temporary. Everything you see and everything you experience with all of your five senses will eventually be gone. Right? Everything in this world will be gone. Eventually, God's going to destroy this place, right? Everything we experience in this world will be gone. So if you think about it in that way, you know, the spiritual realm is way more significant than what's happening even around us every day of our lives. The spiritual realm is so important and something we need to understand that, again, we are in a battle every day of our lives. Let's read out of Ephesians chapter 6 today. I'm going to read out a New Living Translation. So if you do your normal ESV, just click that box and go over to NLT and you'll be fine, right? Or you can follow along on the screen if you want to do it that way. It says these words, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you may be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. But we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We are at battle, right? And it's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that we are in every day of our lives. That's what God's Word teaches us right here in these couple of verses that we just read. The spiritual realm is the most authentic aspect of existence. While your physical body is temporary, your spiritual self, only referred to as a soul, or that we often refer to as a soul, is everlasting. The spiritual dimension is the battleground of good versus evil, angels against demons, and the opposing wills of God and Satan, right? That's the spiritual realm that we're talking about. Satan wants to destroy your walk with God. And he illustrates the essence of spiritual warfare. In John 8:44, Jesus describes the devil this way. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's the enemy that we are battling against in our lives. That's the enemy that we are having as confrontation every day that we wake up. You know, there's a real enemy that's there. There's also a real God that's there. And guess what's so beautiful about your relationship with Almighty God? When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of your life. You are no longer fighting with your own abilities and your own strength. Now we have the strength and the power of God inside of us to help us fight this battle. Satan is a liar. He will whisper to you that you are weak. He will try to convince you that a lie is the truth. He'll tell you it's okay to do what you want to do, even if it's wrong in the sight of God. Notice that our strength is not our own. Paul does not say, be strong in yourself, or dig deep and find your inner strength. Right? That's not what Paul says. He doesn't say it's about your inner strength. You know, dig deep and find that strength within yourself. No, we're called to be strong in the Lord. It's strong in the Lord. Why? Because the strength, our strength will always fall short. We cannot stand against the forces of darkness by sheer willpower or discipline. We must stand against the enemy through the power of God. Throughout Scripture, we're reminded that God is our refuge, our strength, and our deliverer. We read a passage of that just a little while ago. You know, just that idea that He is our refuge, He is our strength. The source of our power is not our intellect, our resources, our experiences. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has already defeated sin, death, and the devil. Right? You know, that's the God that we serve. He's already defeated sin, death, and the devil. Satan can be resisted. James tells us in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Did you know you can resist the devil? Right? You can resist the devil, you can resist temptation, you can resist discouragement, you can resist fear, you can resist all these things that we're going through that we talked about just briefly this morning. You can resist those doubts, you can resist all these things as we continue to walk in the power and stand firm in our relationship with Almighty God. Satan is a defeated foe. God has already claimed victory, and if we are unified to Christ, we share in that victory through God's strength and God's power. Praise be to God for granting us the strength to resist Satan and make him flee. You can, because of what God has done, we can stand firm in our lives no matter what the enemy throws at us. We can stand firm in the midst of our battle. Why? Because God is standing with us. We have strength through Almighty God because He's already won the fight. You know, we're just catching up to what God's already done. You know, one day we will, you know, as we continue to maintain our faithfulness unto God, one day we will stand victorious with that King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? And that's something we have to look forward to, that hope that we have in our hearts and in our lives. And even now we can experience that. Why? Because the Satan is already defeated. You don't have to fall into temptation. You don't have to fall to fear and to doubt. You don't have to fall to the schemes of the enemy. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and you can be victorious. Man, I was expecting everyone to jump up and just start dancing in the aisles. Wouldn't that be awesome? You know, that would have been awesome right there. You guys missed it. I didn't dance either, but I'm no good. You know that. Okay, second point. We will gain protection in battle when we stand firm by wearing the whole armor of God. Okay, we need to stand firm, but we need to stand ready, right? We need to stand ready by putting on the armor of God. Let's talk about that really quickly today. Verses 13 to 17, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The command here is repeated, stand firm. This is the posture of every believer who's rooted, immovable, and ready. God does not call us to run in fear and hide in shame. He calls us to stand, to resist, and to endure. That's what we're called to do as men and women of God, to stand, to resist, and to endure. You don't want to go up against the demonic alone. Well, guess what? Paul encourages us to depend on the power of God. Suit up in the whole armor is what he says, the belt of truth. The belt of truth is what binds all the other pieces of armor together. Back in those days, Roman soldiers wore a tunic. And the tunic sometimes was a little bit loose. And that wouldn't bode well, you know, when you're in hand-to-hand or close kind of combat. And so the belt held everything tight. Our spiritual belt isn't merely a leather belt. It is a belt of truth. The truth refers to the fundamental nature of what is true. The Bible embodies that truth, right? That we are people that believe in the truth and study God's Word and understand God's Word. We are people of the truth, right? We speak the truth in love, right? That's what we're called to do. You know, we need to speak the truth in love, and that's what God calls us to do as men and women of God, to be messengers of truth. It's okay to speak the truth in love. That's what we are called to do. We don't have to bow to everything that society tells us to do, right? No, we need to understand the perspectives of God's Word, and we need to stand by the truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. That's the main thing, right? That's what we need to do. as men and women of God. Yes, we are to love this world, but loving the world doesn't mean we believe everything that the world is preaching and teaching, right? There's a lot of messages that this world will stand up and say that are not biblically true, and that's where we as the church need to stand on the truth of God's Word. I challenge us. Be messengers of the truth. Understanding the truth of God's Word is vital in our fight against Satan. The belt of truth allows us to discern, test, and reject the falsehoods all around us. Then there's a breastplate of righteousness, right? The Roman soldier's breastplate was an essential armor, protecting the torso and from battle and shielding the vital organs from harm. Spiritually, this breastplate of righteousness serves as a similar role. It guards our hearts and our lives by obedience to God's Word, right? So we obey God's Word. We live in righteousness before our God. The righteousness protects us from the enemy's attacks and keeps us walking in the path of God's blessing and purpose. Then there's the shoes of the gospel of peace. How many know shoes are important in your life? Not just if they look good, but man, I don't understand, okay? I don't understand. Here's one of those things I don't understand about women, right? They put on those heels, you know, to make themselves look good, make those calves pop or whatever it is that you guys do when you put on those heels. And then what do? You complain that your feet hurt. Well, if your feet hurt, stop wearing those things. Anyway, that wasn't in my notes. That was free. Just in case. I don't know if my wife's here. Thankfully not. I don't know where she's hiding right now, but she's hearing. Don't worry. Shoes are important, right? Just like for the warrior, they were important. When their feet get all messed up, it could render them pretty ineffective. When your feet get messed up, it could render you ineffective, right? You know, our feet are, you know, we need to make sure they're protected and make sure they're a healthy place, right? In our spiritual battle, spiritually, our shoes are the peace that comes from the good news of God. The peace equips believers to stand firm in the midst of life's challenges, just as sturdy footwear enables soldiers to stand firm in battle. Peace with God is our firm foundation. Peace with God is our firm foundation in our lives. Then there's the shield of faith. The Roman shield, I think there's an image maybe. Maybe I didn't put it in there. There it is. There's that shield. You see that shield up there? A lot of times when we picture Roman, we picture that circle shield. Well, the type of shield that's really being talked about here is that 2.5 foot by 4.5 foot, you know, mega shield. And what's so beautiful about that type of shield is when Roman warriors went out, they could interlock those shields together and it becomes like a wall, you know, to the enemy that's standing there. And so there's some beauty in this illustration in that, you know, when we fight together, we fight better, right? Because we need each other in battle, you know. But this idea, this huge shield that's there just to help us stand firm, and the enemy fires arrows, right? You know, when these Romans interlocked their shields and when they put another shield from the warriors behind them on top, they were shielded, they were protected from any of the arrows that would have came flying their way from the enemy. Well, the enemy throws things like doubt, fear, temptation, accusations, despair at us all the time. Faith is the shield that blocks and quenches them. Faith does not deny problems. It trusts God in the middle of them. Then there's the helmet of salvation, right? The helmet of salvation to protect the warrior's head, right? That's pretty important. In our lives, the helmet guards our mind. The helmet symbolizes our confidence in being saved through faith in Jesus Christ, reminds us of our identity as a child of God, right? We are children of God, and we can stand firm in the midst of temptation. You can stand firm. You don't have to bow every time temptation comes. You don't have to fail time after time after time in your life in some given situation of your life. You can stand firm because we have faith that we are standing on the side of victory with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we can stand victorious in battle. Then there's the sword of the Spirit, right? Our only offensive weapon that we have. And that is the Word of God. That is the Bible. We need to be students of God's Word. What did Jesus use when he was in temptation? He used Scripture, and we too can stand firm in the midst of battle when we use God's Word as a weapon to destroy and defeat our enemy. Have you put on the whole armor of God? Are you dressed and ready for battle? Are you wearing the belt of truth to keep motives pure in your heart and your mind? Are you wearing the breastplate of righteousness so that you can go boldly into battle full of confidence? Are you wearing the shoes of peace to aid your movement and your defense? Are you carrying the shield of faith to deflect and extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy? Have you put on the helmet of salvation to protect your mind? Is the sword of the Spirit within your grasp? Those are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. And when we put on the armor of God, we're going to be able to stand firm against the enemy in our lives. The last point, we need to stand firm, we need to stand ready, and finally, we will gain strength in the battle when we stand together in prayer. We need to stand together. We stand firm, we stand ready, absolutely, but we need to stand together in prayer. I don't think it's an accident here that at the end of this letter, right after Paul talks about all of these different weapons that we have and armor of God and all these things, he closes out through these next couple of verses talking about prayer. It says here, starting in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plans that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching the message of God as God's ambassadors. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Right there, how many times is the word prayer used? I don't know, I didn't count them. You know, but there's a lot of prayer in those concluding verses here, just after he talks about the armor of God. Prayer stands as our strongest shield during spiritual battles. Prayer is not another piece of armor. It's the power that activates and sustains every other piece. Prayer is what activates us, right? Activates the power of God and the armor of God. Without prayer, we are armored but inactive. Understand this today. We can put on all and go through all this thing in our mind every day that I'm putting on the battle, the armor of God to stand firm in the battle. But without prayer, you know that we are just going through the motions of religion. We need prayer. But without prayer, we are armored but inactive. If you're going to do everything God wants you to do in this world, then you need to be a person of prayer. I challenge you again, how much time do you spend in prayer? Are you spending time on a daily basis throughout the day interceding and praying and asking God to help in different situations that you're facing in your life? But are you closing the door of your prayer closet, so to speak, getting alone before God and just crying out to him and spending time on your face before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I ask you, how much time do you spend, you know, in one-on-one communication with God? We need to be people of prayer. Through prayer, we remain connected to our commander, right? We're in a battle. How do we remain connected to our commander? It's through prayer. We remain fueled by the Spirit. How do we get fueled or empowered by the Spirit of God? That happens as we pray. And we're engaged in his mission. How can we stay engaged in the mission God's given us? By praying and being people of prayer. Prayer is so vitally important. You could forget everything else that I've said today if I just get you to understand this, that we need to be people of prayer. We need to be people that are getting on our face before the Lord and crying out to him, saying, God, help me. God, help me to stand firm in this battle that I'm facing. God, give me the empowerment of your Holy Spirit so that I can be victorious today against the enemy. And God, help me to maintain your mission. Help me to stay on focus today with what you're calling me to do and who you want me to talk to and have a conversation with today. Those are all things that happen as we get on our face before God and pray. Paul says here, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. And that's one of the beautiful things about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Because guess what we can do? We can pray in the Spirit in those moments, and we can start praying in our prayer language and saying, God, I have no idea how to pray for this situation right now that I'm battling, but God, I'm just going to pray through your Spirit right now, and I'm going to allow you to figure out how to pray for this situation. Guess what? He's a better prayer than you are. He's a much better prayer than I am. Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues enables the Holy Spirit to articulate prayers through you that would never come up that you never come up with on your own. As we engage in prayer, we experience a profound sense of strength from the Lord. When you're weary from battle, you can allow the Holy Spirit to help us pray for supernatural strength to achieve victory. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you do speak in other tongues, I encourage you, when you're facing temptation, start praying in tongues. Right, start praying in your spiritual language and allow God to help you find strength in the midst of that moment that you're facing that temptation. And then standing together in prayer, and pray for me too, Paul says. And ask God to give the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plans, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. Paul asked the church, please pray for me. Paul understood the power that was unleashed through prayer. I don't know how many letters that he wrote to these churches and said, please pray for me. I need to do a study on that sometime. You know, on how many times he said, please pray for me. Right? I'm battling, I'm fighting, I'm trying to stand firm in the midst of this battle that God's called me to, and I need your prayer right now in order to stand strong. And so I if Paul understood the power of prayer, how much more should we, you know, be people of prayer and start praying for each other? Wouldn't it be incredible if we started praying for all those that sat around us on church on a daily basis? And we just started, you know, I'm going to start crying out for these people that just sit around me. You know, in the next couple of rows around me, in my little huddle here, I'm just going to pray that God's power would be unleashed in their lives. I'm going to pray that they're going to stand firm in the midst of temptation. I'm going to pray that they're going to stay on mission, and that souls are going to be saved and lives are going to be changed by the power of God through their lives. I'm going to start praying that they're going to walk in victory. I'm going to pray that they walk overflowing with joy and with peace and with love and all the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray that their family is filled with good, healthy relationships, and that their kids and their grandkids have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm going to start interceding that God would start a revival right in our couple of people that sit around me on a Sunday morning, so that when we come together, we're ready and we're standing in victory rejoicing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to lead our whole church into victory because we are serving a powerful God, the King of the universe, the God of all power and all authority, and we're going to worship him with everything that we've got inside of us today. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if we started just becoming intercessors for the people that just sat around us on a Sunday morning? Wouldn't that be awesome if people around you started praying for you? Every one of us would love that, wouldn't we? Just like Paul is writing to this church saying, please pray for me. I need your prayer. I covet your prayer to help me to stand strong in the battle that I'm facing. God wants to strengthen us, but it all starts with bold prayers. Are you praying for this church as you should? Are you praying for your church as you should? I won't ask for a show of hands today, but how many didn't pray for your church this week? Right? How many didn't? You just said, I just, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I didn't think about it. I didn't even pray for my church this last week. How many are praying for our church on a regular basis? How many are praying for our kids? I'm sure you're hopefully praying for your kids on a daily basis. Are we praying as we should? How many are praying that you'll accomplish the mission that God's giving you in your life to help people come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior? Because guess what? You know, there's any moment now Christ could come again. Any moment now, Christ could come again. That's called the blessed hope, people. If that doesn't give you hope and get you excited, I don't know what will. We're living in the expectation that Christ could come back at any moment. Man, all your problems and stresses and worry about tomorrow, it could all be gone with just one trumpet blast, right? We're out of here. But while we're waiting in that expectation, that anticipation that Christ is coming again, what are you doing in this battle that you're in every day? Are you helping people come to know Christ? Because we don't know how much longer the God's going to sit back and say, not yet, not yet, it's not time yet. Eventually he's going to say, all right, it's time. Fire up that trumpet, right? You know, it's time. The voice of the archangel, a trumpet call of God. Dead in Christ will rise first. Those that are alive and with Christ will rise to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to happen, right? It's in the Bible, last I checked. You know, and so that moment's going to happen. And are we busy, you know, helping people come to know Christ as their Savior? The armor of God is not optional. It's essential. We are in a battle every day of our lives. These next couple weeks on Wednesday night, we're going to be doing a study. I like the title of this study because it's true. It's called Your Story Has a Villain. Right? It's all talking about spiritual warfare. That's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of Wednesday nights as we gather together. I encourage you to come on out, 7 o'clock. We're here. Your kids will be taken care of and your kids will grow in their relationship with God during that time together. So get out here and enjoy that time together. Every day is a spiritual battle, and every believer is called to be a soldier in this fight. When we wear the armor of God, we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory, right? That old statement, you know, we're not fighting for victory, we're already fighting from victory, because we're on the side of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who already is victorious. And so we are fighting from victory. When we stand in warfare with the power of God, with the armor of God, ready to go. Our enemy is real, but our God is greater. His truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Word protect and empower us. We must stand firm, we must stand ready, and we must stand together. As we get ready to close, we're going to close in just the next couple of minutes. I want us to give us a couple of reminders or a couple of action points. First, we need a daily suit up. Get this, as part of your prayer every morning, right? God, help me to stand victorious in this battle that I'm facing today. We need to suit up in the armor of God. Second thing, know the Word. Study God's Word. Understand God's Word. Memorize God's Word. When was the last time you memorized a verse of God's Word? I challenge you, start memorizing, being people that are studying and memorizing and knowing the Word of God. Stand in community. You know, God doesn't call us to be lone soldiers, does He? We're not very effective when we're lone soldiers. We need each other in this battle. We need the family of God. This whole idea of individual Christianity, man, it gets messy when people start trying to live that out. You know, we need community. That's a biblical thing. It's what God calls us to. We accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We become part of the bride of Christ. We become part of the family of believers. We become part of the body of Christ, right? And so we need each other. It's beautiful when we start living together and stand in community. We bear one another's burdens. We help each other through the fight. Recognize you face a real enemy. Don't waste your energy fighting people. Remember, we're fighting a real enemy. Right? We're fighting a real enemy. Quit wasting your time and your energy fighting against somebody and start fighting against the enemy. How do you fight against the enemy? That's instead of fighting against that person, you're getting on your face before God and crying out for that person and saying, God, they're, for some reason, it seems like the enemy's having victory in their life right now. God, I'm going to spend the next hour interceding for that person that hurt me or said something wrong against me. I'm going to start praying because guess what? They haven't arrived at perfection yet. And God, I know they're still in a battle just like I'm still in a battle. And instead of fighting against that person, I'm going to get on my face before you and I'm going to cry out that the King of the universe is going to help them stand victorious in that area of their lives. Wouldn't that be more productive? Instead of fighting against that person, to be crying out to the throne of God for that person. Live alert and pray. Be spiritually alert. Stay sensitive to the Spirit. Don't be lulled into spiritual sleep. So many times I think the church has lost its effectiveness because we are asleep. We need to wake up. We need to understand that, you know what, one day the rapture is going to happen. We need to wake up and understand we are in a battle. We need to wake up and understand that the enemy wants nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy Parma or our neighborhood or our households. And we have a fight that we are in every day of our lives. And we need to stand up and we need to stand firm. We need to stand ready. We need to stand together and start fighting this battle that God has called us to. Paul found himself in chains, aware that prayer makes a difference. He's in chains when he writes this letter. Here he is bound physically, and he is aware that prayer makes a difference. He requests his friends in Ephesus, please pray for me, confident that God hears the prayers of his people. We must also recognize that God listens to people's prayers. In times when we are weary in the battle, we must ask others to pray with us and for us. Quit being ashamed that you need prayer. How many need prayer in this place? Every one of us, I hope, are raising our hands today. Except for Riel. He's too little. I don't think he understood. You can keep your hands down over there. Oh, there his hand went up. Little motivation from Dad. Dad says he needs prayer too. We all need prayer. But there's this shame that, you know what, I'm supposed to be a mature man or woman of God. And you know what, I can't tell that I'm struggling in some aspect of my life. If you want victory in your life, start calling on people that God has placed in your life, your church family, to help you in the midst of that battle. What's the best way they can help you in the midst of that battle? It's by praying for you. Find those prayer warriors that are around you in your life and start pleading with them, please, I'm struggling in this aspect of my life. I need prayer. Please pray for me. We need that authentic relationship and those authentic connections with one another. If we're going to stand firm in battle, Paul knew it. He said, there's no way I'm going to be able to do all that God's calling me to do unless God's people pray for me. We need to come to a place of humility in our lives where we too say, there's no way I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to do all that God wants me to do unless my church family prays for me. So I challenge you. Let's be authentic in our relationships with one another and let's start asking each other for prayer. Let's believe that God can move and God is powerful and that God will answer the prayers of his people. So I challenge you, start asking for prayer. I don't want to go down this road, but I'm going to do it right now. That sometimes we come in here and we're barely walking or barely moving, or you know what, we just came from that doctor's appointment on Thursday and they told us whatever it is that they forecasted over our lives. And then we come into this beautiful place, we're worshiping God, and there's people up here ready to pray for you and anoint you with oil. And sometimes we just sit there in our seat and say, God, heal me. God, help me. God, give me strength. But we don't walk forward and say, please pray for me. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. The Word of God teaches us, if you are sick, you call on the elders of the church. You don't wait for them to show up. You call on the elders of the church. And what are they supposed to do? Pray for you and anoint you with oil. This is an opportunity almost every Sunday morning we open up these altars And you might look at this and say, this is old school. You know, churches, modern churches don't do that kind of stuff anymore. I don't care if it's modern or not. I think it's biblical, according to what we read in James. And so we're going to continue to do that here. As long as I'm pastor, as long as I get to call the shots, you know, we're gonna open these altars for prayer. Because I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe that the miraculous can take place anytime we gather together, and we believe that God's going to pray and bring healing into people's lives. Don't be one of those that just sat out back every Sunday morning waiting for that miracle when Scripture tells us to call on the elders of the church who will anoint us with oil and pray. Be the first one up here. Beat the prayer team up here. I don't care. Get up here and be ready and be excited and be, you know, filled with faith that God can do a miracle in this place as we gather in the presence of God. I'm preaching too long. I told my wife I was going to stop preaching so long, but I didn't do it yet. Let's stand on up around this place. Worship team, why don't you come forward today? I'm going to invite the prayer team to come back forward. Come find a place to come get ready. Get your anointing oil in your hand. Get ready to just pray. I don't know what you are needing in your life right now or what you're battling right now in your journey and your walk with God. But again, I believe that God can move in this house. And so we're going to open up these altars in just a moment. And if you're here, you know, and you're like Paul, you know, you're probably, he was, I'm sure, probably a little weary from battle. I'm sure he was tired of sitting in jail, you know, being bound up for the call that God placed on his life. And there he is sitting in prison, writing letters to all these churches. And in the midst of that, I'm sure there were some moments of weariness and some moments of, man, God, how much longer until I can get out of these walls to be able to go help people come to know you as their Savior again? You know, I'm sure there's all sorts of things going on in his spirit. But even in the midst of that moment, he said, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Because I'm in a place right now that I need prayer. That's what Paul was writing in that letter. And I know there's many of you here today that are saying, please pray for me. Because I'm in a battle right now and I don't know how I'm going to walk through this. I need God to intervene on my behalf in this situation. I need a healing. I need provision. I need a job. I need whatever it might be that you're just crying out and believing God for today. And so today we're going to open up these altars, and I just encourage you to come forward and find someone to pray with you. They're not going to spend a long time with each person that comes forward, because I believe that this altar is going to be full today, because I know a lot of us have a lot of things going on that we need prayer for. So this morning, as we close out, as we worship our God, as the worship team does such a great job leading us in worship, we're going to give praise to God in this house, and we're going to turn this place into a place of prayer and believe that God's going to move in a powerful way. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, our hearts are filled with faith right now. Lord, believing that you can still do the miraculous and believing that you're still on the throne and going to do great things. And God, I pray right now that you release miracles in this house. God, that you release, Lord, just the gifts of your Holy Spirit to be in operation. And God, that as we cry out to you, God, I pray that you will move around this altar, that you'll move around this room, that you'll move in living rooms or cars or wherever people are driving or wherever they're listening to this sermon right now. God, I pray that you will just move in a powerful way. Let miracles be happening right now in our lives, God. Just come in a powerful way right now and just work. God, we love you so much. Thank you for your presence here today. Won't you come forward if you need prayer today, and let's agree in prayer that God's going to move in a powerful way in your situation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus. every chain, break every chain.
let it be done. Continue to move in this church, Lord. Continue to meet every need that came forward today. Lord, you know every story, every situation. And God, I pray for miracles to take place in those situations that we're believing in you for right now. God, just go with us with your strength and your power. And God, we do pray for a move of your Spirit, a move of your mighty hand upon this church. Continue to mold us into everything that you need us to be, Lord. We love you, we thank you, and we thank you for your presence here today. In your name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the week. We'll see you on Wednesday.